Recording in progress.
That's Marty. Marty, welcome today.
Thank you.
I love that West Indies. It's fairly new to us. It comes in a supplementary hymn we'll call My Heart Sings Out. Not in the 1982, you won't find it there. And it's become one of my favorites. And I introduced it to all places, to the Putney Friends meeting. And now it's one of their favorites, too. So it's being used there as well. But look what we're doing. We're singing with that hymn. What we're saying is that when we come together in community, we have come home. It concludes that way, bringing together all of the other things that have concerned us when there is woe, when there is tragedy. Then how does the preacher say grace? And together we come home together. Now one way or another, 2019, that's before some, no, I guess it's since everyone here before. But at any rate, in 2019, 1, 2, 3 of these people came to live at our house in Westminster, Vermont. And we got to know each other so much that they feel like grandchildren, or Maria's not a grandchild, but at any rate. And was it 2 years ago when Mahenjie was about to get on the train and return to Washington, D.C. after the month here that summer? As she was about to get on, she said, "My mother says we should talk about baptism." No, she was due on the train in about 5 minutes. So when she returned this time, we were sitting at a picnic table, and I said, "You remember, but we didn't follow up with them." Well, what preparation has Mahenjie, has Montserrat had for them? Mahenjie, you attended, I suppose, 30 times in a year, St. John's Episcopal Church in Walpole, guided the whole family in being able to follow the service and feel like you were at home. And so, given the shortness of the possible stay, next Sunday will be the last here until September 13th. Given that shortness of time, we decided, let's not miss it this time. And so they both said, yes, we want to be baptized. So next Sunday, please come support a baptism of Montserrat and Mahenjie here in this place. And we'll rejoice in that. We will create a home. Create more of a home. They help us create a home. This place makes that possible. This place, which was erected, three-fourths of it paid for, interestingly enough, by the then owners of the inn down the street. Quite interesting, because that's the way it was financed back then. It's in the little record book that you find journal downstairs where it records how the financing was done. And that place is like the place that David is being concerned about in the reading from 2 Samuel today, where David is concerned that he's living in a sort of luxurious house for his era, a house of cedar. And I expect any of us would like a house of cedar even today. But David's living in a house of cedar. And it's concerned because the Ark of the Covenant, this container in which we say God's covenant with us, is carried, a document, if you like. That covenant is residing in a tent that's moved from place to place. And in a bad wind, the rain might fall and the tent collapse and the poor container, the ark that contains the covenant will be wet. All of this kind of thing that goes on. David expresses concern about how we carry for this covenant. But is the covenant simply a piece of paper? What is it? Is it an agreement that was worked out by attorneys with God? An agreement with the people of Israel is worked out by attorneys, by people who happen to be able to interpret the law, or scribes and Pharisees, or whoever existed way back then? Or is it instead a one-way declaration? A one-way declaration. Most of us don't enter into too many one-way declarations. We do it in things like, don't we? Things like the Pledge of Allegiance, or I Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and so forth. Why? But in terms of the covenant that God is making, what is God covenanting to do? Never to desert the people who God created. Never to desert them. Now, it's not all that way, because if you go on and read a little bit, it says, as long as they obey my judgments. What happens if you don't? Is the covenant end? Is it over? God says, okay, I've got rid of them. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Is it that way? Or is what we're reading in 2 Samuel a human creation that says, if a human being were to make this covenant with other people, and the other people did not obey to the terms of the covenant, then a human being would just wipe their hands off them, right? But that is not the character of the God we know. The God we know, the God we all have mixed up faith in, because I think we all have questions. Well, we all have mixed up faith in that God. His character is to be faithful to us forever. Now, does that mean just the people who are baptized in the Episcopal Church by a grandfather priest? What does it mean? Does it mean people who happen to maybe just go to some other church and are part of a sacred group that is the one that is saved, whereas other people outside the doors are not? What does it mean? Or could it be that the God that we worship, we're discovering through slow time in our personal lives and in the time of our history, in the time of our delving into things, we're discovering that God's love is there for all of creation. Yes, even that mosquito I slapped last week. God's love is there for all of creation. So what comes to us? What comes to us is we become part of a community which seeks to discover how we can live out that love. We were talking, as a matter of fact, Marianne and I were talking with someone who, some of you may know Laurel Green. I don't know. Anyone here know Laurel? We used to run an organic farm between here and Rockingham, and she was just back because she's concerned about our effects on the climate and the environment. She's deeply concerned about it. And she was just back from she's a person who walks with two babies, not just someone mobile out there running away from people. She was just back from going to a protest with one of the major banks, I think the Citibank of New York, I'm not sure, going to a protest there because the banks are funding the fossil fuel industry and reinvesting in it, and the climate continues to decline. All you have to do is look at the heat dealing with the fires that were springing up as a result. She went there. And enough to say, even a person with pains like me is here to say, this, we have to be careful with each other. We have to be careful of the environment. We have to do everything we can to make this world a safe place for all of its inhabitants. All of them, not just humans, but all of them. Now, Laura will give you the rest of the story. I can't just leave it there. The police in New York City at that point were very polite to these protesters. They were not harsh to them. And when they came to her, they wanted to put handcuffs on her, and she said, if you do, I'll fall down without my canes. And so they had, and I can't tie them behind my back either. So she agreed to wait there, and she waited. And then finally, when everyone else was taken care of, a very polite policeman came back and said, come with me, please. And they took her over to the patio. And she got suspended. 2 hours in jail. This person living out what she could see of this covenant of God with her that becomes love that goes from God through her to the environment, to you and to me, because she was doing this out of concern for how the climate affects, how it affects Rick and Janet, and how it affects Susan and Marianne, Rosemary, and all of the people here. Here we are. And so it's into that goodness of caring for creation that we will be baptizing next week. Into rejoicing in the goodness out of which God created each one of us. A goodness we already have built into us. Baptism doesn't make us good. It celebrates the goodness that is in us already. It's part of us in community. It isn't something that just rescues us from damnation, no. It's something that we give thanks for. So next week, come, give thanks. Give thanks this way and this court. These good people who will be here. Once you go on with all the other aspects, sheep without a shepherd. Here we are. I didn't even bring sheep here. You did once, yes.
One real shepherd is off following.
Yes, and of course, Sean, who is now rowing a boat this weekend, Sean raises quite a few sheep, too, still.
That's what I meant, to talk about Sean.
Yes. You want to say more? So Sean raises his sheep and joins us together that we are a community of shepherds. Can you believe that? We are. There's one who claims to be a shepherd who can guide others. How do we guide them? Do we guide them by with a gun on their head, or do we guide them with love and care? Because of the God who loves us, who guides with love and care, and in turn receive the love of that community that God gives us, such that we are able to know God's love even in the middle of illness, even in the middle of excessive temperature, even in the middle of warfare that's going on elsewhere that we want to have in. We get to know God's love in the midst of all of that. And take our own